Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for welcoming us. We were a little early, and when we opened the door, there was a big sign. Welcome Elvis, Beta, and the kids, and it was so nice. Thank you very much. We are from Albania. And the first time I came in the States, I landed in Idaho. And as soon as I landed, my friends were there, and he said he met the mayor. He's like, hey, come and meet an Albanian. And the mayor comes, he comes to me, and he's like, you know, I don't have a clue where Albania is, but have a great time. And since then, I want to start, just in case you guys have no clue where Albania is, I want to start to tell you where we are at. That's where we are. It's in Europe, near Greece. We've got Italy, Montenegro, Kosovo, and North Macedonia. And I want to share about our ministry, and I want to share how it all started. It started from something and where it's going and how God is working in Albania. First time how it started in the heart of a couple. They had a magazine that it was an article, Albania, the only country that doesn't let you believe in God. And it was like a heavy burden there in their heart that there is a country that doesn't let you believe in God, in any kind, in no religion, nothing. And so they were praying about this country the whole time. And while they're praying for this country the whole time, they had dreams, same dream over and over again, that they couldn't understand what it was because they have never seen it in their life. And when Albania opened up, they sold everything they had, their house, their car, and they flew in Albania. And they checked around in Albania for something specific. And if you could help me with the pictures, they were looking for something like this. They've had it on their dreams the whole time. And when they flew them with a helicopter in our area, because there was no car road, as soon as they landed in our area, they both started crying because that's what they've been seeing in their dreams the whole time. And they told them, leave us here. We're not moving from here. And so they lived in the village for 4 years. And for 4 years, my family, my mom and my sister and my brother, we became Christians. We have never heard about God. To be honest, we were too young to fear death. But to hear about the amazing love that Jesus had for us, that he died for us, that made us like, there is someone that loves me that much, that he can die for me. And we believed in Jesus. And then in 97, Albania government had a collapse. I mean, things were crazy in Albania. And all missionaries, everyone was warned to leave Albania in 24 hours. Or they would be dead. So every foreigner, every American left Albania, every missionary. And so here we are. We had heard about the most amazing news we could ever hear. And me and my brother, we were looking at each other. And we were like, now what? I mean, this can't be it. We've got something so special. This cannot be it. We need to share this around with other people. So that's what we did. I knew how to play two songs in the guitar. He knew how to read the Bible, maybe not how to preach it. And so we would go from village to village to village, and we would preach the gospel. And now I would stop here, and I will tell you, what are we still doing in the village where we are at? And my husband will share that.
Hello from me too. Thank you for having us. Now, to be clear, when all this happened, we weren't married. So she was by herself, me by myself. And after that, we married, we prayed, and we are in the mountains today. She returned to the mountains. I went to the mountains. I'm a city boy, so kind of, in first times was difficult, but now I really love that place and the people. So what are we doing? And before you came here, when you came here inside your church, by the way, you have a wonderful church, and I saw some shoe boxes. And we have been sharing shoe boxes for all these years. And you can't imagine how happy are the kids when they get this in the mountains there. And for the first time, so I've been sharing just shoe boxes given to the kids doing a ministry, and they're sending them at the home. After a while, we told, why not tell them to bring their parents to the church? Yeah, we told them we have shoe boxes this year, but you have to invite one of your parents, either both of them or one of them. And after that, we had about 60 parents in the church 2 years ago for the first time, in Christmas time. It was amazing, amazing to watch all their parents. Then we tried again in Easter time, and this was a great blessing. And you can imagine how happy they are when they get these shoe boxes. After we do ministry, Bible studies with children, young, youth, adults, in two or three areas in that area where we live. And we share food supplies for poor families. So we are using this as a way, as a catch, to share the gospel. And with my son's classroom, this year we are doing Alpha Course. I don't know if you know what it is. Are some videos, short videos. It's a pastor from Great Britain. He did these videos. And they go around, ask people who Jesus is. And after they share the questions, we stop the video and we turn to the kids and tell them, who Jesus is for you? So they answer they knew the answers over there, and they answer by themselves. So it's been pretty good so far. And this is the same idea we have with the men. We share the shoe boxes, the food supplies. After that, we show the video and have a meeting. So it's pretty challenging in these times, because this morning we knew that Albania is 0.6% Christian. I was so disappointed about this number. And
we had an idea that it was
3%. Yeah, 3%. We were happy about that. We were proud about that.
And we didn't want it to lie, so I checked out with my brother. He's a church planter. He's like, hey, what's the percentage of Christianity in Albania? Is it 3? Am I right? And he's like, no, it's 0.6. So that was sad news.
And this, when I heard this number, now I need to do a better job, a stronger job for Jesus Christ. We have to be there. We have to go on with our fellow Albanians to share the gospel.
Yes, and as I talk, there are several pictures that will show. That's me and my brother when we started to do ministry. And there are pictures that shows children's meetings we were doing in the village. And yes, there are places we don't have a room, so we just do them outside. Same thing here. There are different villages, different spots we go to and teach and have Bible studies on the stairs. Yes, and that's the Christmas meeting we had with the shoe boxes. And that's him preaching. We do our baptisms in the river, very close by. And yes, we want to stop there. Thank you.
Okay, now I live with my wife. She likes to talk. Not too much, but she likes to talk. Thank you.
All women do at least. And as we were doing children ministry, that's how I started to let you know how the ministry started. And through this ministries, as we were doing ministries, me and my brother we were very poor. That's how Albania was. We were even poor because we were a big family. We were 6 kids and mom and dad. And even though we were so poor, we would do ministry up and down. And then somebody wrote an email to us and said, would you guys like 2 people from America over there at your place? We were like, We were so happy that they would bring us. We were just a little concerned of what we will feed them. But we were so happy that they're going to come. And we said, yes, please. And so my friend Gary, friend of 20-some years, more than a friend, he's been like a father to me. He and Paola, my second parents, have came over in our village and looked the ministry. And we have a joke about the shoes, because the shoes we would wear up and down were rubber shoes. Pretty cold in the winter, stinky during the summer. And then he had like a call from God or a burden in his heart that he could be a help to us. And so he did. And so he has been one of our main supporters for all these years in the mountains. And then my brother, he gets this call from God that he wants to go to Tirana to start a church, because the youth we were having, they were graduating and moving to the city and not being comfortable going into other churches because they're villagers. And in Albania, villagers are looked down at. So he gets this call from God that that's what he wants to do. So he moves to the city, he starts a church. And that's how ICF Church started. And he is also, as you guys have it on the hallway, he's also had this great desire of planting churches. And that's his desire. It's like, that's his call from God, to help plant new churches. And if everyone in Albania that know him, if they're starting a church, they know who to ask for help. And so while church is going and the ministry is going, my sister gave birth to her first son. And then we went to the hospital to meet them, and she was crying. And we were like, what's wrong? And she's like, well, they tell me my boy's Down syndrome. I have no clue what that is. Well, we had no clue what that is. You know, I call a friend of mine on the phone. I said, what is Down syndrome? And she's like, it's a genetic something. I don't even remember, which confused me even more because I couldn't even understand that at all. And so my sister-in-law, she knew English by then, and she knew how to use the computers. She's working a very high job in the bank. But when she was off the work, she would do research, translate them to Albania, help her take care of the little boy. And that's how she gets the call from God, that that's what she's supposed to do. So she quits her job at the bank and starts the centers named after my nephew, Jonathan Center. And they've been doing that on training parents, helping kids with different courses, different things when they're little. Now they've even opened 2 coffee bars so the kids who are grown up can work and serve around. Like they're helping 180 families. And the most important thing, I had a picture of her, is that's my sister and my nephew. Aren't they adorable? And the other picture, the other important thing is the reason why we did not know much about Down syndrome is not because they were not any around in Albania, but because they kept them hidden. It was a shame when you had a kid with a disability. And nobody said anything that they had a kid with a disability. So one of the main jobs my sister-in-law had, it was to inform people, to let them know that they're humans. They're loved by God just as much as anyone else. And they are the most adorable humans. And they are like, and they are now they are teaming with Tim Tebow Foundation, and they do Night to Shine in Albania. And the touching story of it is, she was walking down on the city one day. There was a lady. She's like, grabbed her and said, are you Ada? And she's like, yes. And she gave her a big hug. And she's like, because of you, I can take my kid down the street and no one points at me. So that is what's going on in Albania. It started little in the village, in different calls, in different ways. Now, I will also share with you what's God been teaching in my heart. When I was told that I'll share about the ministries and I'll share something from the Bible, The idea is when you go and share for the missions is to preach on the Great Commission. But the thing is, every time I'm invited to speak, I have this thing that I need to speak whatever God has speaking to my heart lately. And I thought I would do the same with you guys. I've been studying Nehemiah. And a lot of you, I know more than I do, but Nehemiah has been like one of my favorites. I've read books about Nehemiah, like the great leader, principles of the great leader, great prayer warrior, and amazing things. I've always studied Nehemiah with extra books. And this year, I decided that I would study Nehemiah with no extra help. I was just going to read Nehemiah. I was going to pray that God will teach me something new in Nehemiah that I haven't learned before. And as I'm reading the book of Nehemiah, as you have read it, not once in the book of Nehemiah it is said, God said, go. God never requested Nehemiah to go. But the thing is, Nehemiah had a sensitive heart that he didn't need God to tell him to go, because he knew what God wanted. The story is when his brothers came, he was a cupbearer, very important job, loyalty job. Whatever happened that was show off for the king, he was enjoying it, he was seeing it. And so when his brothers came, he asked them of how was the situation in Jerusalem. And they told him how bad it was. People were poor, the walls were breaking down. And verse 4 says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. To me, it was like God telling me that we need to have a sensitive heart to what's going on around us. And the way we have it is by spending time with God. I drive my kids in the morning to one village because we don't have a school where we live. And if I don't spend that much time with God, then I enjoy fast. So I put my music high and I go up and I go down and I come home. One morning I had woken up, spent time with God. I have to say this, that in the village we don't have electricity during the winter very much. So wood is very essential for heat in the house. And so we just had, there are two ways to get wood. You have to have a man and a horse, because wood is in the mountains. You have to, the man to cut the wood and the horse to bring it to the house. Or you have to buy the wood. Those are the two options you've got to get wood in the village. So we bought. I have a man, but we don't have a horse. So we had bought the wood, and it was laying on the front yard. I drove my kids to the school, and I was coming down, and I'm praying, and I see this lady. She's carrying a big log. And I know everything about everyone, because I've lived there forever, and I want to know, because I could serve them better. This lady, she had a divorce. She had two kids. The man left and never even wanted to be part of helping the kids or anything. And she is going through a mental breakdown. And I see her carry a log. And it was like a heavy rock in my heart, just like Nehemiah's. I go home, I look at the wood, and I tell my husband, I said, you know what, I won't be comfortable heating during the winter time if you don't do something about this lady. And he's like, what's the matter? I tell him what I saw. And he's like, oh, don't worry. We'll do something about it. So he calls a neighbor who has a tractor that can put stuff in it. He fills it with wood, takes it to her. And I was like, now we feel better, both of us. But, as I said, having a sensitive heart comes when we spend time with God. And that was the challenge that God gave me. You've got to spend time with me to be sensitive. Because when I don't spend time with God And it's all about me, myself, and I. It's not about what other people think or what other people need. And the second thing that God was teaching me through Nehemiah is when things go bad, which they do very often do, always believe, or if you have to assume, always assume that God is with you. Because when Nehemiah moved to Jerusalem, people were not clapping hands that he was there. He had hard work to do, which he didn't mind at all, but he had people who didn't like what he was doing. They're trying to stop what he was doing. They're trying to kill him, what he was doing. They did, if you read it, which you have, they did several things against him. And sometimes when those things happen to you, you start thinking, is God with me? You know, if he was with me, things would go well, you know? And you start doubting God. And the dangerous thing about doubting God is we've seen it in the wilderness. When Moses went up to take the Ten Commandments, people waited and waited and waited, and they started doubting and assuming. You know, God, which God had saved them miraculously. I mean, there was nothing to doubt about. But people started thinking, who knows what happened to Moses? You know, who knows where he is with God? And what did they do? They turned away and worshiped the idols, the calf. And I think the same thing with us. When this is what God was teaching me. When things don't go well, when things are hard, always, 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 always believe. And if you, as I said, and if you have to assume, always assume that God is with you. It will keep us from worshiping the idols, and it will keep us in worshiping God the whole time. And my third thing, my third, what God was teaching me is Nehemiah asks God 6 times, same thing. When I was in the Bible school, they told us that if one thing is said more than once, it's really important. You've got to look at it carefully. Well, Nehemiah says it 6 times. And you know what it is? Some people tell me, it's so selfish. I say, it's in the Bible. I mean, Nehemiah asks God to remember what he did. He said 6 times, remember, O God, what I did. Remember, O God, what I did. And as selfish as it can sound, it is a lot better than complaining. He was not complaining, oh, these people are bad. Why did I come here? Why did I do this? No. He looks at the people. People are people, you know, they fall back into sin. They repent and they still sin. We are people. He does not complain about that. But he gets selfish and he says, remember for this, my God, I do not block out what I have so faithfully done for the house of my God and its service. 6 times. 6 times. And it say, if you are in a spot that you have done a lot for the Lord, you have done a lot for the people around you, for your friends, your family, ask God to remember that. It is okay. It's 6 times. It is more than okay. So this was what God has been teaching to my heart, that we need to have a sensitive heart for the people around us, for the things that happen around us, not to be only selfish, to always believe in God, to always believe and assume that God is with us because he is. And, hey, make selfish prayers. God, remember me. God, reward me. So I hope it's touching to you as it was to me. Thank you very much for having us. We felt at home, and this is so nice.
'At this time, I'd like to have the elders come up again, if we can, and we want to have the family come up, and we want to pray a blessing upon you and the rest of your trip here and for your ministry. And we're just grateful to you and for the work. It's a hard place to do ministry. We hear reports at times of you have some of the most hostile people you're working with around you, but you also have beautiful people to be able to work with as well. And we're just grateful for your dedication to the Lord. And we want to pray a blessing upon you, Dad. Would you pray pray for them? And
Father God, we are so thankful to hear about the good work that Elvis and Beta are doing in Albania, and we are humbled to hear about your servants and how obedient they are, and we just ask your blessing upon them, that you would multiply over and over again the good work that they are doing, and that you would place a hedge of protection around them to keep the evil one away. And Father, that you would supply their every need. Just as she was talking about Nehemiah was bold, and he prayed and he asked the king for everything that he needed, and he received it. And so we pray that whatever they need to continue their ministry, that they would be bold in asking. And Father, you are the God who owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and you can supply their every need. And so remember them, Father, bless them and their ministry. We are thankful to be a part of that ministry in support. And so, Father, we've been blessed this day to hear the faithfulness of your servants and the power of your word to change people's hearts and to bring hope to those who were once hopeless. So bless, just bless above and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Something I'd like to ask of you is to commit to praying for them. Let's pray that they can make 3% real. And then 5%. You know, it's one of those things where the gospel has the ability to ignite and catch fire and spread. And it's done it before. And so we would love for that to happen in Albania. You know, that brochure, anybody who loves the Lord, that should break their heart. Albania, where you're not allowed to be a Christian. It'd be great if through all of the mission work that is done, that a new article came out. Albania loves the Lord. So be faithful in praying for them, for soft hearts and the people that are that they minister to, and for them to be able to speak boldly the message that the Lord has given them. So let me pray, and we'll have a good week. I spoke too long. Father God, we are grateful. It's not often that we get to visit with brothers and sisters from across the globe. And it's hard for us sometimes to be mindful of that because we're in our own little pocket here in Southeast Kansas, and we know the people that we know, and we know how things work here. And so everything there is so foreign to us, just as everything here is foreign for them. And so I pray, Father, that you would hear our prayers and that you would bless them, that you would give them everything that they need and to do successful ministry for the gospel. Break through the barriers that exist and give them helpers for the work, that they don't have to shoulder it alone. I pray that people will rise up and stand up for you and stand up for them, and together that they might be able to change their community. We thank you, Father, for them. Protect their family and keep them healthy and safe and vibrant in you. In your name I pray. Amen. Have a great week.